Amen. Praise God. Jesus, good to see you, man, on that front row. I'm telling you. Amen. It's so glad. We're so glad to see you. And Sister Benton, always glad to have you with us. Amen. And this precious young lady with you tonight as well. Amen. We welcome you. Amen. It feels good to feel the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? Amen. Just to feel loved is amazing. Amen. Vanessa, good to see you as well. We're so glad to have you. And amen. We do have several out tonight, different situations. Would you pray for the Wortham family? Brother Wortham's mother was in an accident with the Lord to touch. Sister Tammy was here this morning, but I want you to keep praying for Sister Tamar that God would touch her body, minister to her. I think Cammy's sick. We want the Lord to touch this child, others that are sick in body tonight, not here. We want the help and the grace of the Lord to cover us. Amen. A lot of stuff going on. Amen. Everybody's pollinated. And we want the Lord to touch and minister to the sinuses. You know, God can. Amen. If God could heal blind eyes, God could heal a toothache, headache, and sinus ache. Amen. Would you go to the Lord with me right now for these needs? Lord, we love you and we thank you for your grace. Thank you for your power, your goodness today, Jesus. I love and I believe you, God, for what you're going to do tonight in this house. Thank you for your righteousness, your peace, Lord. We love and we do worship you, Lord. Thank you for truth and letting it matter to us tonight, God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Before we go any further tonight, amen, I need somebody to get this microphone. Amen. Where you at, Brother Ashton? You can help me, buddy. Amen. Take this to Sister Benton. I want y'all to hear this heartbeat of this grandmother. Amen. She is my helper. Amen. When we go to the jail, she's there, and I appreciate it. Sister Benton, would you testify? A lover of souls, a missionary at heart. God bless you.
When I was 12 years old, every mission service I went to, the Lord just grabbed my heart. And for all of those years since then, but when you're 19 years old and you fall in love, you don't think about missions. And I did not marry a preacher. And then I had children. And then I had grandchildren. And now I have almost 11 great-grandchildren. And I always wanted to go and be a missionary. But I had a husband to take care of as he got older. And I still couldn't go. And Brother Crosswell, I didn't tell you how old I was last week. But I don't care. I mean, my white hair says a little bit, you know. So now at 82, my children would certainly not want me to leave. But it just dawned on me probably a month or 6 weeks ago that the jail is my mission field. I love those inmates, and I pray for them. And for Andrew's family, I just took him under my wing. And I love that young man, and I want God's best for him. But, you know, I don't have to go to one of the 26 countries that I've been to be a missionary because I have a mission field right here in Nacogdoches. And I thank the Lord that I am able to go and be there on Thursdays. I want to share the love of God to those mostly men. I can tell them, I'm 82 years old, so when I tell you I love you, you don't have to think anything crazy about it. And I do tell them I love them, and I really mean it from the bottom of my heart. I love those men. And then I tell them I want to go to heaven with you. So I'm just thankful for the good health that God has given to me, that I am able to go and do what I can do for him.
Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand right now. Applaud God. Can you applaud him? Lord, you're holy. So good, Jesus, you are. So worthy you are, Jesus. So priceless is your touch. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Words cannot say enough. Amen. Of the great, great opportunity God has given us. Psalm the 28th chapter tonight. Amen. Thank you for standing. Amen. There's just 9 verses in this chapter that I want to just read to you, and I will read them quickly. I know you've been standing. Thank you so much. Amen. But I feel in the Holy Ghost tonight, there's something that the Lord has dealt with me for some time. And I've looked forward to delivering this. Amen. And I've waited and I held it, but today's the day to give it to you. Psalm 28, we'll read verses 1 through 11. It says, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." I definitely need God, don't we? His voice. "Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands towards thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert. Because they regard," verse 5, "they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth. And with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people and bless thy inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever." Amen. I want that eternal power of God to be an operation in my soul. Amen. Would you put your Bibles down? We're supposed to lift up hands. I don't want you to lift your hands above your head tonight, and I want you to just reach to the Master. Amen. The Lord is in his house to do a mighty work in the place. Amen. The heart, the minds of every soul. Lord, I love you, and I reach to you tonight, God, for that of your kingdom and your power, your spirit, your work, God. I welcome it, Lord, in my life, and I welcome your presence, your grace, your mercy, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the demonstration of your grace, the demonstration of your care and your love in my life. God, for helping me, Lord, to know you. God, help me, Lord Jesus, to know your voice, to know your will, and know your direction in my life. I give you praise, I give you honor, and I give you thanks tonight for the grand opportunity just to be at your table tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated tonight in Jesus' name. Hear my cry, God. You brought me and you put me on a rock. You've heard me, God, but I don't want to ever have that place where, Lord, you're silent to me like those who has disregarded you and the operation of your hand. I want to stay conscious and ever so convinced in my spirit and my ways, amen, that God is supreme and God is number one and God is the treasure of my life. I don't want to ever lose that sense of love and honor to the Lord God Almighty. Tonight, it seems that if you look at this scripture, there were those that God will turn a deaf ear to because they turn a deaf heart to him. They turn their backs on God and they push God away in a time of opportunity. But David, the psalmist here said, "But God, you heard my cry. You didn't turn away from me. You heard my plea and my supplication. You heard and you've answered it." Even tonight in this place, what a mighty God we serve that still hears the cry of the heart, that still answers, that still makes a way when there seemeth not to be a way. So the psalmist is singing here that song that demonstrates his personal desire is for God's attention. Amen. I love it whenever somebody wants somebody's attention. Amen. I have a little grandson that's 1 year old that will now pick up the phone, his mama's phone, and say, "Pops, he wants to talk to me." And how great it is to feel that position of being pops and that grandson wants to talk to me. She will FaceTime me and he'll look at me and first thing he wants to do is growl like a bear. Roar. That does my heart so good. I tonight in this place know that it does God's heart so good when somebody wants his attention and somebody wants to love him and somebody wants to connect to him and somebody wants to praise him. Amen. I don't have to be stimulated, poked, or pride. God don't have to push me into the near edge. There's something inside me that says, God, I want to know you. I want your attention tonight. I want to love you. I love connection. I love that connection, that flow, that openness. Amen. That open gate, that open door of communion with God. Amen. And it's wonderful. Amen. He comments, David does in the psalm about the wicked being drawn away. Something happened at one time that they were drawn away. And he comments how the workers of iniquity instead of the workers of righteousness, how they keep on going the wrong way. And they talk a good line, but mischief is their motive. Sin, wickedness. There's a lot of people could talk the talk instead of walk the walk. And he says, you know, they're going to get what they deserve in essence because they disregarded God. It seems tonight that there was a dismantling of a sense of regard. That when God really wanted their attention, God really wanted to love them and help humanity. Somewhere in time, dismantled was a sense of regard where God would try. It was like when God had your number, God's trying to call you. It'd be like that one-year-old that is saying, Pops, and his mama's trying to get a hold of me. And that child doesn't understand when I don't answer the call. That child begins to grieve because Pops is not answering. Where's Pops at? He's supposed to answer. Or how would it be if Pops tries to get a hold of him and he won't even look at me anymore? There's a time and an hour that that little child will grow up. That child becomes a teenager, and you know those babies that you have loved and kissed you on your cheek and admired you. There comes a time that they're ashamed to be around you. I don't want to ever get to that place, even that I'm ashamed of God. I don't want to ever get to that place where I feel embarrassed to love God or to live for God. I don't want to ever get to that place where I disregard when God is vying for my attention and God is trying to reach for me. I don't want to ever disregard the intent and the will and the purpose of the Almighty. Tonight, it is important in this place that we connect to God and that we welcome God's glory in our life and our heart, his ways inside of our everyday life. Tonight, I want to preach to you about dismantled senses. Dismantled senses. Brother Colton, and I've talked about this before, about people that had a fire alarm, smoke alarm in their house, but because it beeped and they didn't change the battery, they took the battery out because it was annoying. And as a result, in the middle of the night, they had a fire and it burned them up and killed them, or maybe somebody in our home died, all because of a dismantled alarm system, dismantled protection, where they were not able to hear the alarm. The alarm did not have the ability to sense the smoke and the danger and to warn you. Tonight in this place, I don't want to ever lose that sense of regard for the things of God. That when God wants my love, amen, God wants my attention, I want to be able to respond to it. I want to be sensible to the Spirit of God. Amen. I know if I don't have that easy sensitivity cultivated in my life. Amen. I become calloused. I become hardened. I become that person that begins to just go, oh, I'll pray tomorrow. I'll read tomorrow. I'll reach tomorrow. Tomorrow is pawned off for what I could do for God today. And I dismantle something in my heart that is important to my soul and important to my well-being. I'm telling you, God is important to us tonight. Don't ever dismantle the opportunity to get close to God. Amen. Talking about dismantle senses. Sin, iniquity is a big word, but it's a silent killer, toxic killer. It's a venomous poison that Satan began to induce in the situation of the Garden of Eden. Whenever he talked to Eve and said, I won't hurt you. God really didn't mean that when God really did mean it. To where that venom came in and she was desensitized. To where she went ahead and partook of the wrong fruit, the forbidden fruit. She disregarded the word of God, the will of God. And the enemy to her was just a friend. Let me talk to our heart tonight. I've said it in three services or plus. Amen, but I have to say it again. Just because you change sides and backslide doesn't mean that the enemy becomes your friend. The enemy is still your enemy. The enemy is still your enemy. I said the enemy is still your enemy. Even those that begin to play with magic and spiritualism, they feel that they have control of the snake. They feel that they have control of the dark. They're charmed with the ability. And I'm going to tell you, the devil will give you just enough power to deceive you. Just enough power to make you feel you're in control. But hear me, he's never your friend and he's never your advocate. Amen. He will always be your enemy. Know that the enemy, the devil, is as a thief and as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But I'm glad that I have an advocate and I have a God that cares about me. One that loves me tonight. One that is not ashamed to say, I'll pick you up. I'll help you. I'll give you hope. I'll cleanse your life. I'll fill your life. I'll bless you. In spite of all the failures, in spite of all the trashy, filthy, shameful things I've done, I have a God that says, it don't matter. The prodigal came back to his home after he was in the pig pen of life. Oh, he didn't look like he used to. He didn't smell like he used to. Amen. Oh, he had a filthy lifestyle. But the Father embraced him. I'm glad I have a God that wants to embrace us tonight. Amen. Regardless of our humanity. A God that says, oh, I have something for your life. I have a grace and a power to help your need tonight. Amen. You ought to be grateful tonight for the same old message that has not changed. His grace is still amazing to me. Sin, it came, even though it soothed the conscience of Eve, she became numb to the danger and the condition. Sin also will begin to dismantle your senses to the place that you have a loss of bearing a direction, a sense of direction. You become aimlessly wandering in life. Pretty soon they thought they could hide. Adam and Eve discovered that they were naked and had to hide. We say you can't hide you or your sin from God. Don't ever get to the place that you think you could fool God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And friend, it starts off with little things that begin to take over, that gradual thing that begins to come against you. And there's a sense of loss of direction, no compass, no bearing, where there is an aimlessly wandering that happens. Amen. The enemy wants to drug your spiritual being. Amen. A person that is high and messed up on drugs, they lose a sense of bearing in their life, a sense of regard and respect, amen, for themselves or respect for everybody else. Amen. They become high on life's drugs and things begin to, they don't even know where they're at times. But hear me today, sin will do the same thing. Sin wants to pull your bearing, your sense of direction, and just cause you to wander and drift through this world aimlessly. We're talking about dismantled senses. The Bible says in Romans, the first chapter, Paul writing not to some rank sinners, but to the church. He said, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Dismantled was their sense of direction, their identity. No longer did they have shame when they sinned. No longer there was a sense of regret or remorse. Openly and proudly, they did what they did. Sin was justified. We live in an hour where sin wants to be justified. And sin wants to be the one that is crowned as being okay. It's just all right. Well, everybody begins to say, oh, my feelings is this, or, oh, that's my right. I'm going to tell you, sin will give you rights, but it's still wrong. They would defend sin. There's no pain to the conscience to commit vile acts. It don't matter. Rebellion strokes the pride of what we call entitlement. To where a person feels entitled. It's my life. You can't tell me what to do. When somebody's trying to help and try to bless and try to get you in the right direction. When you've lost your sense of bearing. It is like a pilot in a plane. And he's lost in the storm. And he thinks, oh well, there's no use. I'll just go wherever. And the tower has located him on the radar. And they say, flight 107. We know where you're at. Just listen to us. Oh, I don't want to listen to you. I don't have to pay attention to you. I want to tell you, amen, regardless if you think where you know where you're at, God knows where you're at. I'd rather listen to the tower tonight. I'd rather listen to the radar of God, amen, than to trust my own instinct. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5, verse 1, verse 8, it says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The word sober means we got to stay clear-headed. You got to stay alert. You got to keep your mind. Verse Peter also says, 1 verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope for the end of the grace that brought you to the place of revelation. In other words, Peter saying we need to buckle up our mind. We need to armor up our mind in God. Don't ever take your armor off, friend. It's a privilege to live for God and stand for God. You cannot stand in this evil hour without God's help. You need to realize who you are in God. You're not a stranger. You're not an alien. You're God's child. And you need to realize who you're not in this world. Without God, I'm nothing. I can't make it without God. I will not make it without God. I will not survive and I will not succeed without the presence of God. There's a hell that was not made for me, but there's a place reserved for those that regard not God. Amen. We have to arm up the mind. But when there's no armor of God, you dismantle some things. Some senses in your life. The sense of beauty is no longer found. People are willing to gamble. The reality is not there. They're willing to, you know, take a chance. And let me just use an illustration that was used the other day by Brother Zach. When a person is willing to gamble and take a chance, he puts himself in a vulnerable place. In the jail, Brother Zach, He preached a beautiful message, one of the greatest messages I've ever heard this young man preach in just a little small segment. He talked about when he was a young man that would play a game. He grew up in a country, so they would pull up to a fence where the cows were on the other side of the fence, and they would dare each other. And somebody would jump the fence, and they would go touch or slap or hit a cow and see if they could make it back to the fence and jump across before the cow would get them. You know, some cows, they don't care. Probably the butlers, when they have cows, their cows probably just think you're going to feed them. But I've been around some places where those cows were mean and bad. And when the moment you jumped in their territory, they were after your hide. But the job and the trick and the dare was this. Just chance it. Jump the fence and go hit that cow and run back. And many times, can you imagine, right on their heels was that cow who didn't understand. That fuming, mad cow that was coming after them. But friend, how powerful it was when they jumped the fence, they were at safety. That cow stopped at the fence. How many times God has let us get back across the fence just in time? We play foolish games with God many times in this nature. We chance it, we gamble it to where we jump the fence, so to speak. And we smile thinking, I got away with it this time. So the next time that you go around, you bring your friends there and you said, hey, I did it before. An old cow didn't get me. I could do it again. And we jump the fence and we repeat the same thing over and over again. And oh, we rejoice when we get back to the zone of safety, out of danger's reach. But after a while, we get so accustomed to dismantling common sense. We have no sense, and we're willing to gamble and play with God to where it becomes a game that we're buying God's protection. We're using God as a safety, but we're not regarding Him and His desire and His will. I'm telling you, the will of God is for you not to play with Him. God don't want you to straddle the fence and play across the fence and run back to Him back and again and again and again. Amen. Where you play with the things of God. God wants somebody to love His things. God wants somebody to love the safety and the glory that He has provided you. Oh, are you thankful for the blood of Jesus tonight? Dismantle senses. That's what we're talking about. There comes a time that the enemy of your soul will let you feel all the sensations of sin. Sin does have sensations. There's a feel good in sin. Isn't it crazy? The enemy will let you feel all the sensations, but the needed one. I want to be alarmed. I want the alarm to sound in my mind. I want conviction to go off. Even the moment I step across a danger zone, I don't want God to say, well, you disregarded me. And when God's alarm sounds, that I learn to ignore it. Like that person ignored the beeping in that smoke alarm in their house. Oh, the battery's going out. It don't matter. And they dismantle that alarm system. And later it costs one of their family members, perhaps a child. I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost tonight, don't ever get to the place that you dismantle the alarm of your conscience when the Holy Ghost is trying to speak to you. When God's trying to get up, don't you dare excuse it. And don't you dare push it off and think, oh, well, I'll take care of it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the time of opportunity. Don't dismantle that. The enemy will desensitize you to what really could happen. There's a graduation, a gradual feeling when no longer do you feel conviction. There's no worry, no fear, no respect, no care. Well, you feel like I got by with it. But if you're on the wrong side, you're on the wrong side of the fence, the enemy is still your enemy. They tell me soldiers in war, in the heat of battle, they reach a place where the weariness of the continued enemy fire and rounds flying over their head and the pressure of war, that something snaps and they become desensitized, losing their composure. And the old statement is, you lose your head in war, you'll lose your head. It's the same thing in Living for God. There's a combat stress reaction that you could become disconnected to the surrounding and shell-shocked by the enemy. There have been people in the trench in the middle of war out of no reason at all, young person. They did something foolish like stand up. And this good young man, without sensitivity, stood up foolishly. And the enemy round would take them out. They knew it was going over their heads. But something caused them all of a sudden just to pop up and lose their sense of composure. I want to say this today. You need to be even at that place that you don't get weary in well-doing. That you don't let the enemy wear you out. That the enemy begins to wear your conscience out. That dismantle is your sense of regard and bearing. That you remember this is a battlefield. Amen. But hear me tonight. We cannot cash in. Neither do we throw in the towel in this generation. Today's the day to live for God. There is a world that is lost. And our mission field is to reach this world with the light of the gospel. The devil wants you to take your light out. The devil wants to put your relationship with God, amen, out completely. He wants to dismantle the effectiveness of your life. The Bible tells us in the book of Jude, contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. Let me just talk to you tonight. That word contend, we need to fight for the faith as a contestant. We know that we will not lose as long as we run for the things of God. As long as we stand for the things of God. As long as we armored up for the things of God. We've got a God that will stand with us. But when we refuse to armor up, and we refuse to live for God and pray and keep the fire of our love and affection for God, the enemy has a way of dismantling us, disarmoring us, that we become an easy prey. I want to keep my focus on God tonight. The Bible says contend for the faith. You can't contend if you live a life of pretending. I'm going to say it hard tonight. You can't play. You can't pretend and be a contender. Oh my, hallelujah. God wants a church that stands. A church that is real. God's not looking for a phony part-timer. God is looking for somebody that knows how to contend. And let me say, the next thing, you can't contend if you don't tend to your faith. If you don't tend to the things of God. Amen. If you don't keep the fire of prayer and a relationship in your heart going. The enemy knows how to make a fool out of you. He knows how to desensitize you and dismantle every part of your senses. That you feel, I'm okay, I'm all right. Hear me tonight, son of God. God's looking for a church that is really real. A person that walks the walk, talk to talk, that lives for God and fights the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Isaiah, he spoke in 26:3. He said, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. We need to keep our mind in God. I'm going to tell you, distractions are coming on every angle today. Amen. We need to know our enemy, but we need to know our God. Amen. Oh, hear me tonight. A carnal mind dismantles some senses in your life. If you feed the spirit of the flesh, sin, amen. Oh, Fred, sin will start growing and outgrow. It's kind of like the little illustration that I heard all my life. Two dogs were fighting, and a young man was standing next to a wise man, and he said, which one of these dogs is going to win? And the wise man said, the one that you feed the most. If you feed the right things in your life, amen, you're going to stay with God. Amen. If you keep God number one in your life, that number one God's going to take care of you. But if you feed the flesh and you culture and nourish the carnal mind, the carnal mind will always win. Amen. Because you fed it more than the spiritual mind. Verse 6. It said, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The carnal mind is enmity against God and cannot be subject to the law, neither indeed can be. It's not subject to the law, cannot never be. In other words, carnality is sinful. The only way that a carnal mind can ever, ever be dealt with is being crucified. You crucify the flesh. The Bible says a natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolish. The natural man thinks living for God is foolish. The natural man thinks, oh, you're wasting your time. It's illogical. It's absurd. Oh, friend, the natural mind makes you unqualified, incapable to discern the things of God. Dismantled is all the senses that you need. Whenever you begin to court and sport a carnal mind. What are you talking about, Pastor? What is a carnal mind? An unspiritual mind. A mind that gloats with an appetite for the flesh. A mind and an appetite that is driven that you know what something is right where you feed something that's wrong. A thought comes across your mind, it's not a sin when there's a thought that goes across the screen of your mind. But it becomes a sin when you start entertaining it. When you start entertaining some thoughts and you start playing with some things and those thoughts become, in a way, it's kind of like your phone today. We could be talking about something. We could be talking about a certain subject. And I open my phone and there on that phone is that subject. Somebody's listening to you. The enemy knows you. The enemy knows you, and isn't it crazy? You start playing in your mind with something. The devil will provide an opportunity for what you feed in your mind that is wrong. Carnal minds will invite spirits to come there, opportunities to be available. Remember, the carnal mind is enmity against God, and it dismantles every sense that you have. The natural man doesn't receive the things of God. I mean, there's no sense of appreciation or acceptance to God's Spirit no longer. The Bible says in Romans, there's therefore no condemnation to them that in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. When we walk after the Spirit, I'm thankful that God gives us a power to overcome. A power that when condemnation comes and the enemy begins to point his finger at you and say, look what you did. Look what you done. Look what you said. Look what you thought. But when you're walking after the Spirit, there is a power of the Spirit that will help you. Amen. When condemnation comes, there's a greater shield of God, a greater power of God. Amen. That is in your life when you walk after the Spirit. But when you walk after the flesh and you feed the things that the flesh, you have no armor. You have no shield. You are vulnerable and exposed to whatever comes your way. Amen. In a crazy, dismantled senses, comes from not crucifying your flesh. What do you mean crucify your flesh? I'll tell you what I mean. When we pray and we say, God, this man inside me is a troublemaker. When I don't pray and I don't put myself in the hands of God and say, God, I need help. I'm a human. I need your power. I need your glory in my life. And God, I've been having problems with this. And I want to put it on the altar. I want to put it before you, God. I keep having bad thoughts. God, help me. When I yield myself and say, God, help me. I surrender me to you. I need your help. When I finally yield over, I start crucifying the flesh by giving over to the Almighty God. Hear me, when you crucify the flesh, Amen. I have a God who's still the God of resurrection, a God who's given you power and glory, but it takes somebody crucifying the flesh. The devil wants to make that such a hard deal when it's just something easy. Amen. When you live for God, amen, when you finally surrender, oh, it's a wrestling match. It's a war, but how wonderful it is when you finally let go and let God. Why do we have to be stubborn? Why do we have to fight against the glory of God? Why do we have to go through the war? Amen. When God said, just give me the battle. Dismantle senses where things no longer matter to you that matter to God. Let me go a little further. I want to talk about a very, very dangerous disease today called neuropathy. Neuropathy is whenever somebody loses the feelings in their members or legs, toes, hands. There's a numbness. I have friends that have lost their toes, their feet, because they stepped on a rock or stepped on something and they did not feel it. They cut a hole or punctured their foot. And as a result, they didn't feel it. They didn't know it was there. They couldn't feel it. Pretty soon infection got in, gangrene set in, and at first they tried to save it and salvage it. Pretty soon they had to cut off a toe. Pretty soon they had to cut off the part of the foot. Pretty soon just the ankle. Pretty soon right below the knee. Pretty soon it just keeps traveling up to where the leg is cut off as high as they could get it. And I met people that both of their legs were cut off because of gangrene or neuropathy. I want to tell you what's worse than not having your legs is to have spiritual neuropathy, a loss of senses, a numbness to the things of God where you lose touch. I watch people lose touch with God that God would use mighty. I want to tell you the devil's after those that have that anointing in their life. The devil's not worried about the sinner, the drunk, and the drug addict out there. He's already got them. But you know who's after tonight? Those that hold the truth. Those that know how to pray. Those that know how to walk with God. Those that live for God, you are a danger. Those that know the truth, you are a danger to hell because you're concerned about those that are lost. You're concerned about the man or the woman tonight that is wandering in darkness, and you are a threat to the kingdom of hell. Oh, friend, you are a threat to hell tonight. Amen. That's why the enemy's after you. Neuropathy, spiritual neuropathy, is a gradual thing where you don't even realize you're getting numb. You don't even realize that you're losing touch. A while ago we read that scripture, because they became unthankful, vain. Their foolish heart was darkened. Instead of there being astonishment and wonder in the presence of God, cynicism, where everything's just a joke, where there's no longer a sincerity inside the heart. That tender heart becomes calloused. Conviction is no longer a driving force of the real thing. What you used to be would be ashamed to do. Now the enemy would give you an excuse to make you feel like, I did that because I was afraid of everybody judging me. Now I just don't care. I hear that all the time. I don't care what everybody thinks. I don't care what they think. You better care what God thinks. You better care what the God Almighty, amen, thinks. You better care what the Word of God says. You better have that sense when you hear the alarm and hear the voice of the Almighty God. And if you can't hear that, you need to hear the voice of a preacher. You need to hear the voice of a shepherd. Amen. God puts a shepherd in your life. Amen. To be a sound, to be a voice there to help you. But there are those that have learned how to shut it off. But it's just Brother Crosswhite harping again. You better believe I'm on a harp. I'll harp all the way to the gates of hell for a soul. How about you? Became unthankful, ungrateful, vain. Tender heart was calloused. Conviction is no longer there. There's a the sensitized feeling becomes where you, I really don't care. Somebody said, aren't you afraid to go to hell? The fear of displeasing God? I don't even think about that no more. They're not even concerned. Not only that, but there's no passion or burden for the loss. The mission starts to be something that you don't even have anymore. You don't realize that you're a light bearer. The mission's not important for you to live for God. I want to tell you, if you don't live for God for you, you need to live for God for somebody else. Man, that's crazy, Pastor, but I'm going to tell you, there's times as a pastor, had it not be for the burden and the mission to live for God for somebody else, amen, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. I thank God for a burden. I thank God for the vision. Amen, there's times I think, oh, well, amen, I'm weary, amen, but oh, I, in my mind, the Lord have put a Coley there. God have put a Christian there. God have put a Will there. God have put a Jose there, or Jesus there. God have put somebody in my mind, a burden. Thank God for a burden and the mission to take this gospel to the lost. When I get a burden for Charlie, I got a fight inside me. You know what I can't feel when I pray, when I can't feel the Lord in my personal prayer time? I know the way to do it is to start praying for somebody else. I start praying for somebody else in a bind, somebody I know that's in a bad condition, in a position in their life. I start praying for them. Brother Williams, what a privilege to be able to step before God's throne. And immediately when I start praying for somebody and that burden comes over me, that burning desire, pretty soon I feel the presence of God. Man, I pray for hours trying to find the glory of God. And trying to find my place in God. But friend, in a moment of prayer and intercession, when I started praying, amen, this morning early, amen, for Clint and Misty, amen, I started praying for them, amen, and God came over me with such a burden and said, God, get a hold of their heart. I felt the Holy Ghost. But it was until I prayed for them, I didn't feel a drop. I was numb. I want to tell somebody tonight in the Holy Ghost, amen, if you can't feel God, you need to feel for God. But you need to pray for somebody. Amen. Oh, friend, neuropathy. When I know I should be spending time with God, but the feeling and the importance and the joy is no longer there. Man, there's something about spending time with the Lord. We used to sing the song, Shut In With God In A Secret Place. And there's something about it when I get lost in the Holy Ghost. But after a while, dismantled is that feeling, that appreciation, that value of being with God. You quit praying. You quit seeking God. The more you quit, the more you push off. A day, 2 days, 3 days, it's harder to get back. You know what I'm talking about. The enemy loves to desensitize and dismantle. Amen, that feeling, that appreciation, that spiritual neuropathy begins to set in. I want you to think about it tonight. When the joy is no longer there. It's crazy. You come to church and the hardest people to convince is people who's been around, those that have learned the mechanics of church. You got to sing. You got to do something crazy to get their attention. Amen. It shouldn't be that we have to have craziness to get our attention. My God, I want the Holy Ghost. I want to be easily moved by the Spirit of God. I want to easily join the presence of God. Amen. I want to be ever grateful for the power of God. Amen. Oh, friend, I want the taste of God to always be something that I crave. And I enjoy the taste of God, the presence of God. Don't ever lose that place. Don't ever lose your desire, friend. Where I should love my church, something is no longer there. I get frustrated at people. When you start getting frustrated at people around you that are part of your team, your church, and you start looking at them, well, you just start saying, well, that's just Colton. One of the things I try not to do, even in my home, I try not to say, that's just Colton. That's not just Zach. Amen. I try to say, that's Brother Colton and Brother Zach. It's bothered me even in the last little bit that there are some of you called each other by first names. And you start getting so common. Amen. That you, there's no sense of appreciation. That's my brother. That's my sister. We need to honor each other. Amen. Oh, friend, there's going to be times they'll frustrate you. But remember, you're on the same team. These are people that God loves and God has pulled out of darkness and put them on the rock. We don't deserve to be here. Not one of us. Brother Danny, we're going to fumble. We're all vulnerable. There's times we're going to be cold as a cucumber. Thank God for those that care, that's going to be there to help us out. Thank God, Brother Jess, that there's somebody, amen, that'll be next to us, amen, to bump us just a little bit and say, come on, man, I'm for you. Amen. Thank God for the love and the care of the church. Amen. I want to keep the light and the fire burning of prayer. Amen. My brothers and sisters, man, they matter to me. They matter to God. Amen. And in pastoring tonight, let me just say this. Amen. Oh, I've been hearing all kind of gripes and grumbling amongst us. You better watch out. That's the way the enemy causes spiritual neuropathy. If he could get you grumbling against this one and grumbling against, hey, friend, not one of us, amen, not one of us know how to do things just right without God. But it's so easy to put the blame and shoot each other down and use each other, amen, despitefully, amen, and begin to look at somebody and begin to low-rate them. Amen. Hey, don't you know that's God's child? Don't you know that's the one that God is trying to use? They're part of your team. Or neuropathy. You lose your feeling. You lose your feeling. And boy, I'm hitting home. It got quiet, didn't it? I'm telling you, amen, you need to be careful who you're talking about. Amen, you need to be careful who you're grumbling about. Amen, pray for those around you. Pray for those. Amen, if you've got a problem, don't you go to somebody else and talk to them about somebody. Amen, you need to go to that individual. Hear me. Am I out of the book? Am I playing around tonight? You better handle things before they get a hold of you. Neuropathy. That's all I'm going to say on that. But the beauty of the Lord is no longer beautiful to you. The beauty of the experience with God becomes normal and just an everyday deal. You know, there's some songs that I can listen to in just a few minutes and they just move me. And I can remember listening to this song probably, not exaggeration, probably about 15 times a day, over and over. And I'd sit there and weep and cry. And just recently, while driving down the road, it came across the radio. And I listened to it, and I realized it didn't move me anymore. And it puzzled me. So driving down the road, after hearing the song, I said, man, every time I used to hear that song would just move me. I would weep, but today it didn't even thump my heart. You know what I did? I pulled on the side of the road. I found it on my phone. And I played it again. And I played it the third time. When finally the message seeped back in my heart. And I felt that weeping come again to my heart. I don't want to ever let the songs of Zion become just an old nursery rhyming song that we just sang, just a ritual. I don't want the songs of Zion to still have its place. I want Amazing Grace to be more than just a song. I want Amazing Grace to be a message to me. I want that message to burn inside me. I don't want neuropathy. I don't want to lose that feeling. Amen. Oh, I don't want to lose that meaning. I don't want to lose that fire of desire. Amen. I don't want to have that in my life. I want the beauty of the encounter of God and what He did for me at Calvary still to matter to me. Talking about dismantled senses tonight. Pretty soon, there's no more feeling. Pretty soon, you just become a corpse, just about. I looked at a very young lady. She was not even in her 40s. Diabetes so bad that they started on her toes. Time she was 40 years old, she was in a wheelchair with two stumps for legs. This lady was a very active lady one time. But with neuropathy, she lost her ability. Somebody had to get her Somebody had to put her in a vehicle. Somebody had to take care of her. She became just a casualty. And she died such a miserable person. I don't want to be a miserable person. I want to feel the Holy Ghost. And I want to have a feeling for God. But I found the key. If you don't feel after God, and if you don't condition yourself to seek the Lord, amen, your feeling easily goes. If you quit seeking after God and searching after God and delighting in the presence of God, pretty soon you'll get spiritual neuropathy. You don't feel that anymore. You don't feel it in your feet. You don't feel it in your hands. You don't feel it in your heart anymore. It all starts in your heart. Amen. I want my heart to be after God. How about you? The psalmist said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. I would that somebody would lift their hands in this place right now and pray that, Lord, restore to me that feeling. Restore to me that joy. Restore to me my senses, Lord, that I'm sensitive to your presence and sensitive to your divine glory. Lord, don't let me easily shake this opportunity off. God, work. Amen. Start my motor. God, touch me, Lord. Let there be a burning desire kept in me. Let the flame don't ever go out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more disability that I want to talk to you about, not only spiritual neuropathy. There comes a place where somebody starts getting what we call dementia. I know some good people. My heart hurts. They have all the looks of being right. All the faculties and facilities of their mind look okay. You around them? I can remember going to West Texas, Sister Crosswhite, to go see Uncle Dwayne. And Dwayne had the beginning stage of dementia, 50 years old probably. And they had to put him in a nursing home in Eastland, Texas. When we went in there, there was a very well-dressed man, tall, probably 6'2", 6'3", hair neatly combed, and it was just salt and pepper gray, very prestigious man. And Brother Roach pointed, he said, do you know Brother so-and-so? And I looked at him and I go, oh, this man had been one of our pastors for years. His son pastored right there in Ranger, Texas. And he had to put his daddy in that home because his daddy had dementia. When we called the brother's name, he didn't even know. He didn't know who he was. Even though he dressed real nice and neat. And he sat there. I remember him sitting in a chair, crossing his legs, looking so prestigious and dignified. But he didn't know where he was at. He lost that ability to fathom. He didn't have that ability even to understand who he was. No memory. He forgot. He was deranged. He would do things sometimes so bizarre. He was like the little man that lived next door. We used to laugh, but it's horrible. Lives next door to my grandmother. He got it all mixed up. Instead of putting his underwear on first, he put his pants on and put his underwear on the outside. We laughed. It's not funny when somebody loses their ability to have proper balance and judgment. Today it's horrible to watch somebody have spiritual dementia where the Bible says they forgot the God of glory. They forgot the God that brought them out of darkness. They forgot the mercy of God, the help of God, the hand of God. Somewhere dismantled were their senses. They lost their memory. They forgot the sanctification, the glory, the power of God. Spiritual dementia. All because somewhere dismantled were their senses. And they became wonders. I'm telling you, they were wandering the streets. I remember passing by a house that was just a normal, beautiful little house in the country. The next time I went by there, they were installing a tall 8-foot fence with a leaning top on it with barbed wire. And I had a question, why? And somebody mentioned, because a little lady there has dementia and the son hired somebody to keep her. And when they turned her back, that little lady was in the middle of the road walking. Didn't even know where she was and who she was and who she belonged to. And I've seen the same thing happen to people that once had a walk with God. People that God brought out of darkness. But something got a hold of them that they forgot the things of God. There was a man in the Bible, his name was Saul. Saul was such a goodly man. He began, he was head and shoulders taller than everybody else. He was such a great man. He had a tender heart. But he started gradually disobeying God. To where, even though he was anointed to be king over Israel, King Saul, something was dismantled in him. That he did not regard the commands of God. And he became foolish. His heart was calloused. And King Saul became a monster. He forgot the God of heaven. Hear me tonight. Even the strong man Samson, he gambled and he played with his strength and with the supernatural. And finally, with his head in the lap of the enemy, she stroked his head and his hair. He felt good. Oh, he felt like a champion. Oh, I'll shake myself. I'll shake myself and I can win against this. But when he broke covenant with God, and oh, friend, he opened his heart to the wrong thing. Even the wrong thing stole from him that power. And when the enemy came, the Bible said he shook himself. And it was no longer there. Vulnerable to the enemy. In this place tonight, the Holy Ghost is speaking to somebody's heart. Amen. You don't need to dismantle your senses. The enemy wants to put his hand in your life and mess up your thinking. Amen. The devil will give you excuses. We heard Brother Hope preach it this morning. The devil will offer things to you to dismantle even your conscience and your conviction. Some of you are playing with things you know that are sending you to hell. There's some of you playing with sin. Amen. You're hiding and you think you got it in control. Friend, it is not in control. He controls you. Amen. Dismantled is that sense of conviction. And you become vulnerable. Amen. In the hands of the enemy. Stand with me right now. You know, Sister Benton, when a preacher preached like this when we were kids, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, people would weep. Preacher didn't have to open the altar. Today, there's people look at me like I just fell off the melon wagon. Because you're not afraid of hell. You're not afraid. You think you're in control. Sister Bent would tell you years ago when the man of God, man, if I could get O.R. False here tonight. O.R. Foss preached, and when he preached, I remember the message that he preached while we were at youth camp. Judas! It was the title of that message, Judas, and I can remember people running to the altar. One night he preached about hell. And people filled that place. They didn't just stay there till they just jabbered in tongues. They stayed there for hours, weeping and wailing before God. But you know what the Bible says? Even if the old prophets would come back, there were still some that would not hear them. Even if they resurrected from the dead and walked in this place, if a verbal being walked in there, man of God that preached, Joe Duke, or we're false. Men of that caliber would come and preach to us tonight. Some of you would just look at him. But tonight you need to connect and reconnect to the Almighty God. Move me with your spirit. Amen. Let it be your prayer in this place right now. Somebody needs to make your way to God in this altar tonight. Quit looking around and waiting for another chance and think, oh, well, I'll take care of it tomorrow. I'm preaching to you tonight. Amen. You need to get your house in order. You need to get your soul with God tonight. Amen. You need to carefully check and connect yourself to God. Hallelujah. Have you got spiritual dementia? The start of it? Do you have spiritual neuropathy where you can't feel God anymore? Come back and connect to Jesus tonight. Amen. Somebody needs to pray. Somebody needs to touch God right now. In this place, tonight is your night if you ever talk to God. Amen. Young person, just because you're young don't mean that you're exempt. Amen. You need to talk to the Lord right now and say, God, help me. God, get a hold of my heart, Lord. Get a hold of my soul, Lord Jesus. Let me not become numb. Amen. Take me to that place where I need to be with you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. It's okay to cry to God. Amen. It's okay to reach out to God and say, God, help me. God, put conviction back in my heart and my life. God, crush me, oh God. My will, let it be crushed.
Take me back, dear Lord, to the place I first received you.
Hallelujah. Come on, I feel tonight, amen, I have talked to a heart that needs to obey the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, hallelujah. Even the Holy Ghost is speaking and trying to get over to you. Hallelujah. Come on, pray. Do I have to beg somebody? Amen. Come on. Do I have to beg somebody? Amen. What would it take? Come on. Amen. What would it take for you to turn? What would it take for you to open your heart? Amen. Come on. What would it take for God to get a hold of you again? Hallelujah. Let's fill this place with prayer. You can't feel God for yourself. Would you pray for somebody right now? Amen. Pray. Come on. You need to lift a voice tonight. Amen. Somebody needs to cry out to the living God tonight. God, move me with your spirit. Move me with your ways. Move me with your word, Jesus. Come on, young person. Come on, saint of God. Come on, elderly person. Amen. Come on, husband. Come on, wife. Come on, couple. Amen. Talk to the Lord tonight. God, move me with your presence. Move me with your spirit, Lord. Move me with your grace again, Lord. Come on, get to business with God tonight. Get to business with God tonight. Come on, get to business with God. I got to have you, Jesus. Take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back, Jesus. Take me back, Jesus.
To the place where I first received you.
God.
Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed.
Above all else, God, I gotta be saved. I gotta be saved, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, saint. Hallelujah. Come on, prayer warrior. Amen. Don't make this just a service. Amen. Don't make this a time that you're distracted. Amen. I'm telling you, hang on just a moment, Sister Crosswind. Amen. I'm dealing with a spirit right now in this house. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're distracted, you need to get your mind on the Lord. Amen. What more does God have to do? What more do I have to do? I feel the burden of it. Amen. If you was up here and you knew what I knew tonight, amen, you would do something, amen, to get a hold of God to help people. Amen. Come on, I want some prayer in this place right now. Hallelujah. There's souls in the balance right now in this church. Amen. That needs God. We need victory in our church. Amen. We can't play the way we've been playing. Hallelujah. Amen. There's some things that need to be connected with God again. Hallelujah. 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 Revival was great, but friend, you're in a place right now where the heat of the battle's on you. Amen. You need to cry out before God. Amen. You need to talk to the master tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. I need a prayer warrior to lift your voice. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. I need you to touch God. Come on. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, ministers. Amen. You need to pray like you never prayed before. Hallelujah. God of heaven. Hallelujah. There's so much neuropathy in this place. You lost your feeling. You lost your feeling. You lost your feeling. You lost your fight. Amen. You need to pray, God, help me to regain something. Help me to regain something. I've been a fool. I followed foolish notions. Jesus said, come on, lift your voice, pray, open and empty it out. Empty your heart out tonight. Empty your heart out. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 God. In your name, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, we got to make a difference tonight. Come on, we got to make a difference tonight. Come on, saint. Hallelujah. Come on, child of God. Hallelujah. Come on, child of God. Hallelujah. 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 If you've ever entered a place where you've travailed and intercessed, even for a soul, you need to do it tonight. Amen. Don't let it be something in your rearview mirror. Let it be something tonight before you. Amen. Come on, pray. Amen. Somebody dig deep tonight inside your heart. God, I got to have you. I got to have your ways. I got to have your spirit, Lord. I got to have the authority of the Holy Ghost in me, Jesus. God, move our children. Move our children, Lord Jesus. Move our children. Move our youth, God. Move our people after you, Lord. Help us, oh God, I pray, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Come on, pray. Somebody need to weep before God. You need to squeeze your heart tonight, Lord, and pray. God, squeeze my heart, Lord. Empty me out. Empty me out, Lord God. My ways, oh God, let me be emptied. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, there's a breakthrough for you tonight. Amen, there's a breakthrough for this church. Amen, it's not far away. Come on, amen, it's close tonight. Come on, it's worth fighting for. It's worth pushing for tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus, in your name. Come on, pray with me. Don't be a coward tonight. Amen. Somebody pray. Pour it on tonight. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, we're making a difference right now. There's some making a difference tonight. Come on, pour it on. Hallelujah. God, stoke the fire in my soul, Lord. Hallelujah. Work your work in me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, come before the throne of God tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, saint. Hallelujah. Come on, saint of God, pray. Come on, don't be easily distracted. Come on, don't let something steal your attention and your focus tonight. Hallelujah, you need to pray. I'm telling you, pray. Hallelujah. Come on, lay some things at the altar tonight. Come on, build an altar where you're at tonight in this place. Build an altar and lay something on it. Amen. Put it before God tonight. Amen. Crucify that flesh if you have to. Amen. Put it before the throne of God. Hallelujah. Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you, Jesus. I need your spirit, oh God. I need you. I need you. I need you. Oh God, my heart, Lord God, be like a fountain. Move me, Lord. Move my heart, Lord. God, bring back the tears and compassion, Lord Jesus. Bring it back, God. Bring back intercession, oh Lord. Bring back intercession, oh, burden. Restore that burden, God. Burning, God. Move me with your spirit. Move me with your message. Move me with your mission, Jesus. Move me with your spirit tonight, God. My God. Hallelujah. Holy. Jesus, oh God,